always knew Salazar Slytherin was a twisted old loony, Ron told Harry and Hermione, as they fought their way through the teeming corridors at the end of the lesson to drop off their bags before dinner. But I never knew he started all this pure blood stuff. I wouldn't be in his house if you paid me. Honestly, if the Sorting Hat had tried to put me in Slytherin, I'd have got the train straight back home. Hermione nodded fervently. But Harry didn't say anything. His stomach had just dropped unpleasantly. Harry had never told Ron and Hermione that the Sorting Hat had seriously considered putting him in Slytherin. He could remember, as though it was yesterday, the small voice that had spoken in his ear when he'd placed the hat on his head a year before. You'd be great, you know. It's all here in your head. And Slytherin would help you on the way to greatness. No doubt about that. But Harry, who had already heard of Slytherin House's reputation for turning out dark wizards, had thought desperately, Not Slytherin! And the hat said, Oh well. If you're sure, better be Gryffindor! As they were shunted along in the throng, Colin Creevy went past. Hiya, Harry! Hello, Colin, said Harry automatically. Harry, a boy in my class has been saying you're... But Colin was so small, he couldn't fight against the tide of people bearing him toward the Great Hall. They heard him squeak, See ya, Harry! And he was gone. What's a boy in his class saying about you? Hermione wondered. That I'm Slytherin's heir, I expect, said Harry, his stomach dropping another inch or so, as he suddenly remembered the way Justin Finch Fletchley had run away from him at lunchtime. People here will believe anything, said Ron in disgust. The crowd thinned, and they were able to climb the next staircase without difficulty. Do you really think there's a Chamber of Secrets? Ron asked Hermione. I don't know, she said, frowning. Dumbledore couldn't cure Mrs. Norris. And that makes me think that whatever attacked her might not be, well, human. As she spoke, they turned a corridor and found themselves at the end of the very corridor where the attack had happened. They stopped and looked. The scene was just as it had been that night. Except that there was no stiff cat hanging from the torch bracket, and an empty chair stood against the wall, bearing the message, The Chamber of Secrets has been opened. That's where Filch has been keeping guard, Ron muttered. They looked at each other. The corridor was deserted. Can't hurt to have a look around, said Harry. Dropping his bag and getting to his hands and knees so that he could scrawl along, searching for clues. Scorch marks, he said. Here! And here! Come and look at this, said Hermione. This is funny. Harry got up and crossed to the window next to the message on the wall. Hermione was pointing at the topmost pane, where around 20 spiders were scuttling, apparently fighting to get through a small crack. A long, silvery thread was dangling like a rope, as though they had all climbed it in their hurry to get outside. Have you ever seen spiders act like that? Hermione wondered. No, said Harry. Have you, Ron? Ron? He looked over his shoulder. Ron was standing well back and seemed to be fighting an impulse to run. What's up? Said Harry.
Don't like spiders, said Ron tensely.
I never knew that, said Hermione, looking at Ron in surprise. You've used spiders and potions loads of times.
I don't mind them dead, said Ron, who was carefully looking anywhere but at the window. I just don't like the way they move.
Hermione giggled. It's not funny, said Ron fiercely. If you must know, when I was 3, Ron turned my teddy bear into a great big filthy spider because I broke his toy broomstick. You wouldn't like them either if you'd been holding your bear and suddenly it had too many legs and... He broke off, shuddering. Hermione was obviously still trying not to laugh. Feeling they had better get off the subject,
Harry said. Remember all that water on the floor? Where did that come from? Someone's mopped it up. It was about here, said Ron, recovering himself to walk a few paces past Filch's chair and pointing. Level with this door. He reached for the brass doorknob, but suddenly withdrew his hand as though he'd been burned. What's the matter? Said Harry. Can't go in there, Ron said gruffly. That's a girl's toilet. Oh, Ron, there won't be anyone in there, said Hermione, standing up and coming over. That's Moaning Myrtle's place. Come on, let's have a look. And ignoring the large, out-of-order sign, she opened the door. It was the gloomiest, most depressing bathroom Harry had ever set foot in. Under a large, cracked, and spotted mirror were a row of chipped sinks. The floor was damp and reflected the dull light given off by the stubs of a few candles, burning low in their holders. The wooden doors to the stalls were flaking and scratched, and one of them was dangling off its hinges. Hermione put her finger to her lips and set off toward the end stall. When she reached it, she said, "Hello, Myrtle. How are you?" Harry and Ron went to look. Moaning Myrtle was floating above the tank of the toilet, picking a spot on her chin. "This is a girl's bathroom," she said, eyeing Ron and Harry suspiciously. "They're not girls." "No," Hermione agreed. I just wanted to show them how, nice it is in here." She waved vaguely at the dirty old mirror and the damp floor. "Ask her if she saw anything," Harry mouthed at Hermione. "What are you whispering?" said Myrtle, staring at him. "Nothing," said Harry quickly. "We just wanted to ask." "I wish people would stop talking behind my back," said Myrtle, in a voice choked with tears. "I do have feelings, you know, even if I am dead." "Myrtle, no one wants to upset you," said Hermione. "Harry just..." "No one wants to upset me? That's a good one," howled Myrtle. "My life was nothing but misery at this place, and now people come along ruining my death." "We wanted to ask you if you'd seen anything funny lately," said Hermione, "because a cat was attacked right outside your door on Halloween." "Did you see anyone here that night?" asked Harry. "I wasn't paying attention," said Myrtle dramatically. "Peeves upset me so much, I came in here and tried to kill myself. And, of course, I remembered. I'm...
"Already dead?" said Ron helpfully.
Myrtle gave a tragic sob, rose up in the air, turned over and dived headfirst into the toilet, splashing water all over them and vanishing from sight, although from the direction of her muffled sob, she had come to rest somewhere in the U-bend. Harry and Ron stood with their mouths open, but Hermione shrugged wearily and said, "Honestly, I was almost cheerful for Myrtle. Come on, let's go." Harry had barely closed the door on Myrtle's gurgling sobs when a loud voice made all three of them jump.
"Ron!"
Percy Weasley had stopped dead at the head of the stairs, prefect badge gleam, an expression of complete shock on his face.
"That's a girl's bathroom," he gasped. "What were you?"
"Just having a look around," Ron shrugged. "Clues, you know." Percy swelled in a manner that reminded him, or that reminded Harry forcefully of Mrs. Weasley.
"Get away from there," said Percy, striding toward them and starting to bustle them along, flapping his arms. "Don't you care what this looks like? Coming back here while everyone's at dinner?"
"Why shouldn't we be here?" said Ron hotly, stopping short and glaring at Percy.
"Listen, we never laid a finger on that cat." "That's what I told Ginny," said Percy fiercely. "But she still seems to think you're going to be expelled. I've never seen her so upset, crying her eyes out. You might think of her. All the first years are thoroughly overexcited by this business."
"You don't care about Ginny," said Ron, whose ears were now reddening.
You're just worried I'm going to mess up your chances of being head boy. 5 points from Gryffindor, said Pursley tersely, fingering his prefect badge. And I hope it teaches you a lesson. No more detective work, or I'll write a note to Mom. And he strode off, the back of his neck as red as Ron's ears. Harry, Ron, and Hermione chose seats as far as possible from Percy in the common room that night. Ron was still in a very bad temper and kept blotting his charms homework. When he reached absently for his wand to remove the smudges, ignited the parchment. Fuming as almost as much as his homework, Ron slammed the Standard Book of Spells, Grade 2, shut. To Harry's surprise, Hermione followed suit. Who can it be, though? She said in a quiet voice, as though continuing a conversation they had just been having. Who'd want to frighten all the squibs and muggleborns out of Hogwarts? Let's think, said Ron in mock puzzlement. Who do we know that thinks muggles are scum? He looked at Hermione. Hermione looked back, unconvinced. If you're talking about Malfoy... Of course I am, said Ron. You heard him. You'll be next, Mudbloods. Come on. You've only got to look at his foul rat face to know it's him. Malfoy? The heir of Slytherin? Said Hermione skeptically. Look at his family, said Harry, closing his books too. The whole lot of them have been Slytherin. He's always boasting about it. They could easily be Slytherin's descendants. His father is definitely evil enough. They could have had the key to the Chamber of Secrets for centuries, said Ron, handing it down, father to son. Well, said Hermione cautiously, I suppose it's possible. But how do we prove it? Said Harry darkly. There might be a way, said Hermione slowly, dropping her voice still further with a quick glance across the room at Percy. Of course, it would be difficult and dangerous, very dangerous. We'd be breaking about 50 school rules, I'd expect. If in a month or so you feel like explaining, you will let us know, won't you? Said Ron irritably. All right, said Hermione coldly. What we'd need to do is get inside the Slytherin common room and ask Malfoy a few questions without him realizing it's us. But that's impossible, said Harry, and Ron laughed. No, it's not, said Hermione. All we would need is some polyjuice potion. What's that? Said Ron and Harry together. Snape mentioned it in class a few weeks ago. Do you think we've got nothing better to do in potions than listen to Snape? Muttered Ron. It transforms you into somebody else. Think about it. We could change into three of the Slytherins. No one would know it was us. Malfoy would probably tell us anything. He's probably boasting about it in the Slytherin common room right now. If only we could hear him. This polyjuice stuff sounds a bit dodgy to me, said Ron, frowning. What if we were stuck looking like Slytherins forever? It wears off after a while, said Hermione, waving her hand impatiently. Getting hold of the recipe will be very difficult. Snape said it was in a book called Most Potent Potions, and it's bound to be in the restricted section of the library. There is only one way to get a book from the restricted section. You need a signed note of permission from a teacher. Hard to see why we'd want the book, really, said Ron, if we weren't going to try and make one of the potions. I think, said Hermione, that if we made it sound as though we were just interested in the theory, we might stand a chance. Oh, come on. No teacher's going to fall for that, said Ron. They'd have to be really thick. Chapter 10. The Rogue Bludger. Since the disastrous episode of the Pixies, Professor Lockhart had not brought live creatures to class. Instead, he read passages of his book to them, and sometimes reenacted some of the most dramatic bits. He usually picked Harry to help him with these reconstructions. So far,
Harry had been forced to play a simple Transylvanian villager whom Lockhart had cured of a babbling curse, a yeti with a head cold, and a vampire who had been unable to eat anything except lettuce since Lockhart had dealt with him. Harry was hauled to the front of the class during their very next Defense Against the Dark Arts lesson, this time acting in a werewolf. If he hadn't had a very good reason for keeping Lockhart in a good mood, he would have refused to do it. "Nice loud howl, Harry." "Exactly. And then, if you'll believe this, I pounced like this, slammed him to the floor. Thus, with one hand, I managed to hold him down. With my other, I put my wand to his throat. I screwed up my remaining strength and performed the immensely complex homomorphic charm." He let out a piteous moan. "Go on, Harry." "Higher than that. Good. The fur vanished, the fangs shrunk, and he turned back into a man. Simple, yet effective. And another village will remember me forever as the hero who delivered them from the monthly terror of werewolf attacks." The bell rang and Lockhart got to his feet. "Homework! Compose a poem about my defeat of the Wagga Wagga Werewolf. Sign copies of Magical Me to the author of the best one." The class began to leave. Harry returned to the back of the room, where Ron and Hermione were waiting.
"Ready?" Harry muttered.
"Wait till everyone's gone," said Hermione nervously. "All right." She approached Lockhart's desk, a piece of paper clutched tightly in her hand. Harry and Ron right behind her. "Professor Lockhart," Hermione stammered, "I wanted to get this book out of the library, just for background reading." She held out the piece of paper, her hand shaking slightly. "But the thing is, it's in the restricted section, and I need a teacher to sign for it."
"I'm sure it will help me understand what you say in Gadding with Ghouls about the slow-acting venoms."
"Ah, Gadding with Ghouls," said Lockhart, taking the note from Hermione and smiling widely at her. "Possibly my very favorite book. You enjoyed it?"
"Oh, yes," said Hermione eagerly. "So clever the way you trapped that one with the tea strainer. Well, I'm sure no one will mind me giving the best student of the year a little extra help," said Lockhart warmly, as he pulled out an enormous peacock quill.
"Nice, isn't it?" he said, misreading the revolted look on Ron's face. "I usually save it for book signings."
He scrawled an enormous loopy signature on the note and handed it back to Hermione.
"So, Harry," said Lockhart, while Hermione folded the note with fumbling fingers and slipped it into her bag. "Tomorrow's the first Quidditch match of the season. Gryffindor against Slytherin, is it not? I hear you're a useful player."
"I was a seeker, too. I was asked to try for the national squad, but preferred to dedicate my life to the eradication of dark forces. Still, if you ever feel you need the need for a little private training, don't hesitate to ask. Always happy to pass on my expertise to less able players."
Harry made an indistinct noise in his throat and hurried off after Ron and Hermione.
"I don't believe it," he said, as the three of them examined the signature on the note. "He didn't even look at what notebook we wanted."
"That's because he's a brainless git," said Ron. "But who cares? We got what we need."
"He's not a brainless git," said Hermione shrilly as they half ran toward the library. "Just because he said you were the best student of the year."
They dropped their voices as they entered the muffled stillness of the library. Madame Pince, the librarian, was a thin, irritable woman who looked like an underfed vulture.
Goodbye, my friends.